You all have a sermon outline in your bulletins to follow along with me. What is today the title of today's message? All right. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this day. Thank you especially for the gift of woman, gracious God. Thank you for specifically deciding that women have a purpose, that women are beautiful, intelligent, creative, and that most of all, Lord Jesus, we have you. Lord, speak through us today. We ask your blessings upon this message, that we may all be made into new creatures in Christ that you created us to be. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. You know, saints, there is one thing that most people know about me, and it's not a secret, and it's not anything especially different from anyone else in the room, but most folks know that I enjoy reading. Is that something that you all know about me, that I like to read? And I have always enjoyed reading, even as a little child. I would always have a book in my hand. And I remember reading all of the fairy tales. Do you all remember the fairy tales? You know, Hansel and Gretel, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and Cinderella. When you would read these books, it would seem as if you could sort of become a part of the story, and that this story was your story, saints. And that was what's fun about being a kid. Kids have the greatest imaginations, don't they? You could be Snow White on Monday. You could be Rapunzel on Tuesday. You could be the little engine that could on Wednesday. And for our guys, you could be Batman, Spider-Man, and Superman any day of the week you wanted to be. But the point of this small illustration is that when we are born, we pretty much all start off equal. Babies and little kids, no matter who their parents are, all are interested in the same things: eating, sleeping, pooping, and playing. That's about it. All children, no matter where we are born, who our parents are, we are all born with the same choices, no matter what. Now I know you are sitting there thinking, that can't be right, because our choices would seem to be determined if we were born in a rich family versus a poor family. We often seem to think that children that are born with that silver spoon in their mouths somehow have it better off in life than those that are born with the plastic spoon in our mouths. But let me tell you, saints, our economic status does not change our choices pertaining to God. When it comes to Jesus Christ, we all have the same choices. So what are our choices? We all have the choice to acknowledge that there is a God. We all have the same choice to acknowledge that there is a God and that we serve a God of providence. A God of providence. And I know you're sitting here thinking, what does that mean, providence? Well, some of us already know that providence is divine guidance. Divine guidance, care, and protection. And check this out. That divine guidance, care, and protection is especially there when we have not asked for it, when we have not recognized it, when we didn't even realize it was there. Now, I want you to know that providence is different from being a provider. You see, God is the great provider. That means he makes sure that we have everything that we need. Notice I said need and not want. But being the God, the great God of providence, is different. You see, saints, when God is being provident, that is his leading, his divine leading and guidance, the care and protection in the situations that most of us find ourselves in, and we think, how did I get myself in this situation? And then we stop and think, well, the only way I could have gotten out of this situation is that God in his great providence helped me to get out of it. Let's think about that. Anyone ever been in a wild and crazy situation in your life? For most of us, if you really think back to your age time from about 16 to about 30, some people had some really hard and interesting decisions to make. Some of us were in some circumstances that we thought, wow, thank God. Thank God that God knew that I needed his providence, his guidance, his care and protection when I didn't really even realize it or know it. And God saw me through. You see, saints, sometimes we don't ask God to be there. Sometimes we don't want God to be there. In some situations, we are thinking, Lord Jesus, I'm so glad that even though I didn't acknowledge you were there, you made a way out of no way and you saw me through. So our choices are to realize that there is a God, that God is the God of providence. And our next situation, our next choice that we all have is that we all have the choice. Do we trust in God? Do we trust in God and commit it to God, even and especially during the hard times of our lives? Now, today is Women's Day. And every single one of us that are women in the room, we all have that one thing in common. We're all women. But basically, we're all very different. We look different. We act different. We sound different. We have different jobs. And most of all, we have different backgrounds. But even though we are all different women, we all have the same choices pertaining to God. That's not change for any one of us. Now, I just want to forewarn you that my sermon this morning will not give us the complete picture. It will not give us the complete picture. We do not have enough time to go through everything we could go through this morning. So in order to get the complete picture, we will all have to come back at 3 o'clock this afternoon to hear Reverend Jackie Bailey. She has the other side of this message. And even that, saints, is a choice that we all have today. You see, I have already told you that my sermon is not going to give you the complete message and that God has more for you to hear today. So I don't want to make anyone feel guilty, but it is your choice to be here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So let's keep moving. We're going to meet Esther today. Many of us already know Esther. We're vaguely familiar with Esther. She is a person in the Bible. We know that there is a book in the Bible that is named after Esther. But who is Esther? When we say David and Moses, we can pretty much tell their stories. But what is Esther's story? Do we really understand why this young Jewish girl had a whole book in the Bible dedicated to her? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Esther. Esther was similar to other people in the Bible that were born prior to Jesus Christ. She was like Moses, Noah, Ruth, and David, and Solomon. She was born into the people of the faith that we call Jewish. Esther lived during the time when the Israelites had been exiled to Babylon. And if you remember that story, after all the Israelites kept messing up, you remember the kings and the judges, they just kept messing up over and over again. God allowed them to be taken over by the Babylonians. Well, eventually, like any other civilization, the Babylonians lost power. And now there's a new country in charge called Persia. So somehow during this time period, Esther is growing up. And we found out from Scripture that when Esther was a little girl, her parents died. She had to go live with her uncle Mordecai. Now, this is Esther's first choice. How do we respond when we suffer great loss and great tragedy? When things in our lives do not go according to our fairy tale dreams, what decisions do we make? You see, it was not Esther's fault that she lost her parents. Esther didn't do anything to deserve losing her parents. Esther had the same choices that all of us have. Esther could choose to trust in God's divine providence, or she could choose to act out. She could choose to be angry. She could choose to stop talking to the entire world. When Esther lost her parents, she could choose, I'm going to trust and respect God's plan for my life, or I'm going to be rebellious. You know, saints, it seems today that our people often choose rebellion. Instead of trusting in God's plan, we often choose rebellion. I hear so often, the parents are in jail. That's why the kids are acting up. The parents were drug addicts. That's why their lives are messed up. My parents didn't care. That's why I made poor choices. My family didn't have a lot of money. That's why I couldn't get ahead in life. I was born with a disability, that's why. And it can go on and on and on and on. But saints, and really saints, this is really hard for me to say because I've given some of these same sad excuses for my own life. But saints, the reality is, no matter what our lot in life, we all have the same choices pertaining to God. None of us are different. So when Esther lost her parents, she had to go live with her uncle Mordecai. Now here was the first part of her choice. She could have been very rebellious. She could have said, "You are not my mom. You are not my dad. I don't have to listen to you." Or she could realize that God has something special planned for her. You know, saints, we don't often realize the impact and the importance of the people that God brings into our lives. We think, "I don't want to be bothered with these relatives. I don't like my boss. I don't like my neighbor." Some of us say, "I don't even like my pastors. I don't like those other people sitting next to me in the chairs at my church." But did any of us ever stop to think that God has a purpose for all of us being in each other's lives? That it is by divine intervention that we know each other. It is not by chance or luck that we are in each other's lives. It is God's divine providence. You know, Esther's first church choice was during a very difficult time. She had lost her parents. Then she had to go move in with her uncle Mordecai. And Esther could have chosen to be rebellious. She could have chosen to be unkind. She could have chosen to be disobedient. But what did Esther do? She chose to trust in God's plan for her life. She chose divine providence. So Esther grows up, leading us into her second choice. Her second choice surrounded a decision to be pure. That means, for some of us that have not actually heard this word in a while, that means she chose to remain a virgin. You see, until God had brought his best man into her life, Esther had a decision regarding purity. Now, I know that we're all sitting here thinking, "Pastor Kelly, why are you standing here in front of us talking about purity? You can go talk to the True Love Waits group." Because I want us to know, saints, that purity is important to God. And in our world, purity is looked down upon. Purity is laughed at. And a lot of time, purity is laughed at by women. By women. Some young girls even laughed at purity. We sometimes think purity is something that just takes far too long. And we seem to get a little frustrated and impatient because we want God to bring that special someone into our lives. And we give up on purity. We give up on what the best is for our lives. You know, saints, I really want to say this very gently, but I want to be very honest. And I don't want to hurt feelings, and I don't want to mix words. We are doing a great job here at Glenville in helping our young people understand abstinence. But somehow we are missing the mark after graduation. Many of our young ladies and our young men are choosing to abandon purity and become pregnant or have someone get pregnant once they become an adult. And it's very, very difficult, especially since we've done all this great and hard work getting them through their teen years and making sure that they have the best chances in life. You know, saints, I often wonder why God chose me to be a pastor, why he chose me when I had such a crazy background and my life from my 16s to my 20-somethings wasn't good. But I realized that one day he was going to have me stand in front of a group of women. And some of the women had chosen purity. And they were going to need a little encouragement to say that your choice is of God. And keep on keeping on. Even if you don't see the results right now, you keep on keeping on. And some of the other women in the building would also be women who were like me, who had made some poor choices and decisions and had got through high school but didn't quite make it during those college years. And they were sitting there thinking, "How do you choose purity when you have already had sex?" Or, "How do you choose purity when you have a baby in your belly?" Or, "How do you choose purity when you have a baby in your arms?" Well, saints, you just make the choice. You just make the choice and you sit back and you watch God's providence You watch how God will guide you and care for you and protect you. So Esther's second choice is the same choice that all women, men, girls, and boys have. Esther's second choice was purity. What did Esther choose? Esther was a woman just like us. She did not have to wait for the king. I'm sure it was pretty of a whole lot of other nice looking guys that came by her way. But Esther chose to choose God's providence. She chose purity, and because she chose purity, God began to open doors for her that she could never imagine. You see, Esther is just like us, saints. Esther is like us in a whole lot of ways. And Esther, in this story, she didn't realize all her life what was happening behind the scenes. She never knew what God was moving into position for her. You see, Esther, I told us before, lived in this country called Persia. But just like we live in America, we really don't pay attention to our politics, our politicians that much. They go on and do their thing, and we watch them during the elections, and then they keep going, right? So Esther, she lived in this country, and there was a king named Xerxes. And King Xerxes was a big partier. This man would have parties that lasted 6 months, saints. Can you imagine a six-month party of alcohol and drinking and all kind of other stuff? But Esther didn't realize about this king and his parties. She was just living her life. And Esther didn't also realize that the king had a wife named Vashti. Esther kind of knew about these leaders, just like we know about our leaders, but they weren't a part of her day-to-day life. She never probably thought that the queen at the time, Queen Vashti, would make a decision that would change Vashti's life and Esther's life. You see, Queen Vashti was a strong, independent woman. Queen Vashti had it going on. And during these parties that the king would throw, he would say to her, "Come on in here. I want you to show how beautiful you are to all my fellas and all my friends." But you know, Queen Vashti is a strong, independent woman. And she suddenly told her king, "No, I'm not doing that." You know, saints, when we hear those words, strong, independent black woman, some of us wear that as a badge of honor. I know I have. But I wonder, how many opportunities do we lose out on because we want to be so strong, so independent? You know, I love that scripture that says, "In our weakness, he is strong." We're so busy being strong that we are getting in God's way. And independence means we're doing everything all by ourselves. We're so independent that we're all alone. You know, saints, we're going to have to think about that a little bit as women. We don't want our women to be weak and unable to do the things that they need to do in life. We don't want them to cower and be afraid. But we also don't want them to think that they have to do every single thing all alone. So Vashti told her king, "I'm not doing what you asked of me." And guess what the king did? He wasn't too happy about it. Men, you could take a lesson from King Xerxes. Because when the king said, "Come," you had better come. And when Vashti said, "No," the king stood there and his friend said, "You gonna let her talk to you like that, man? You let your woman talk to you like that, then our women gonna talk to us like that. You better do something about that." So the king said, "Yeah. Can't talk to me like that. I'm the king." And he got rid of her. He divorced her. He said, "You're no longer the queen." You know, sometimes, saints, we get our advice from the wrong people. I remember this drug addict. He was a recovered drug addict, but he said that when he was in the pit of drug abuse, he would look for advice, and all of the people that were giving him advice were drug addicts just like him. But he could never get out of that pit. Sometimes we go to the wrong people for advice. For help. Instead of going to the people that are going to tell us to do it God's way, we listen to the people who are already doing it the wrong way. And you see, King Xerxes listened to his friends and he got rid of his wife. A couple days went by, that party was over, and the king was a little lonely. He started thinking about Vashti. He was like, "Wow, I shouldn't have got rid of my wife so quick like that." And instead of going in being humble and apologizing to Queen Vashti, he listened to his friends again. His friends told him, "Oh, you don't need to go back to Vashti. Why don't you hold a beauty contest, get you a new bride. The king said, that sounds like a good idea. We'll do that. Saints, we all need each other. King Xerxes didn't realize how much he needed his wife. And the queen didn't realize how much she needed her husband. Maybe instead of being strong, independent women and strong, independent men, maybe it's time for us to be women and men that God can use. Maybe that's the badge of honor that we carry with us every day. So all these things were going on, and Esther didn't know any of this stuff was happening. She didn't know any of this stuff was happening behind the scenes. That leads us to Esther's third choice. You see, the king put out this decree to all the virgins. He said, all the virgins, all those that are pure, I'm looking for a new wife, and I want you to be a part of this contest. Now today, if the most handsome man walked through the door, the most intelligent, the most God-fearing man walked through the door, and he said, I only want those that are virgins, quite a few of us would be left out. Thank the Lord, somebody in here would be able to go next there, but some of us would be left out. Many of us would be left out in the dust, but it wasn't the same way back in Esther's time. You see, back in the day, it was the standard to be pure. So for Esther, there was a lot of competition. Esther had a lot of competition, and when the king said, I want the virgins, a whole bunch of women stood up in the room. So the king mandates, well, we're going to figure this out. How are we going to figure this out? He says all the women have to go through 12 months of preparation. Our scripture reading tells us that they had 6 months of just bathing. Can you imagine a six-month bath? 6 months of just bathing and another 6 months devoted to their hair, their perfume, and their makeup. Wow, men, talk about waiting on your wife, huh? Today in our world, we don't want to take the time for anything. We have the five-minute makeup routine, the 15-minute workout, the fast food line, dinner preparation, and the microwaves. Everything is so fast. Everything is so fast. Women and men are going so fast that it seems like we do not have the time to take care of ourselves. It seems like we don't have time to go to the doctor to get that checkup. It seems like we don't have time to eat right. It seems like we don't have time to exercise. It seems like we don't have time to pray and have real quality relationships. You know, saints, the key word I kept saying is it seems like we don't have time. I want you to ask yourself, how many hours did you spend just yesterday, Saturday, and Friday watching television, Facebooking, on your iPod, on your computers? How many hours did you use? Anybody got an idea? Too many. Well, let me tell you, saints, the average American spends about 5 hours a day just watching television. Just watching television. That's not including your computer time, your phone time, or anything else. That is just on the television. 5 hours a day. That is 151 hours a month. Saints, I want to say to us, it's not that we don't have the time. It's do we want to take the time to do the things that are really important in life? So Esther took the time. She chose to take the time to prepare physically, mentally, and emotionally. And when it was time to go before the king, there was something special about Esther. And it wasn't just her beauty, saints. I would tend to think that it was also her grace and her humility. You see, when she walked before that king, Esther did not know that the king was going to give all the women in the room a choice. He said, you can have any of the beautiful objects that you desire. And Esther said, give me only what you would desire me to have. She chose less instead of being greedy. And because she chose less, she won the heart of the king. Now, saints, when we look at money and women, that is a whole nother subject. And I don't have time to go into the whole, you know, gold diggers and all that stuff. I don't have time today. But we need to find a balance, is what I want to say. Women do have the right to be paid their worth at work. But we also need to realize that we should not be gold diggers and just going after everything being greedy. You know, I think about that scripture from our New Testament reading today, the woman that She threw in her last two coins of all that she had. And the impact that this woman had on Jesus, he said she gave everything she had. Everything that she had. Are we able to give everything that we have, ladies? So Esther chose providence again, and she won the heart of a king, and she became queen. Now, after Esther became queen, you would have thought that her life would get easier. But it didn't, saints, and all of us that are single in the room, getting married does not make your life easier. But this leads us to Esther's final choice. Esther is now the queen, and while she is queen, her uncle discovers that there is a plot to kill all of the Jews. All of the Jews. And what I haven't said up until now is that Esther hadn't told anyone that she was Jewish. Her uncle had told her in the beginning to keep quiet about her faith. And here is another lesson that we can learn from Esther's story. You see, sometimes we need to learn when to be quiet and when to speak. When to be quiet and when to speak. We can destroy and mess up a lot of things in our lives because we just feel we gotta say it. We just gotta say it. We cannot hold it back. But sometimes it's better to be quiet. To be quiet and show how well we live. Pastor Rick talked a little bit about that last week, the other side. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet. You don't have to go around boasting that we're Christians and having our crosses everywhere. Sometimes we need to live and show that we're Christians instead of speaking it. So Esther, instead of being all loud and boastful, she chose to be quiet. And Esther again chose God's divine providence because her uncle came to her and said, "You were prepared for such a time as this. You have been prepared for such a time as this." And Esther knew that if she went to her king and it wasn't the right time and it wasn't the right place and she said the wrong words, she could be killed and all of the nation of the Jews could have been killed. But by waiting and being patient, Esther saved an entire nation. Well, it seems, saints, that Esther made all of the right choices in her life, doesn't it? And we might think, well, what does that mean for me? Especially if you think, I did not make all of the right choices. There is no way that God is going to make me queen right now in my life. I am the exact opposite of Esther. Some of us think you have made every wrong decision under the sun. And we have maybe have already told ourselves that I'm not a woman that God can use. However, saints, I've already told you that part two of this message is at 3:00 today. So you need to come back, saints, because I realize that there are two types of things going on here for us as women. Some of us have made very good choices, very good decisions, but life is still not going as we expect it to go. Some of us have made every wrong decision under the sun, and we think we can't get back on track with God. There is no way that God can use me. But I'm telling you, saints, that God has made all of us for such a time as this. God has made all of us to be women that God can use. God has made us, you men out there, to be men that God can use. So if you want to know the next part of this, you got to come back at 3:00. If you're a man that really wants to understand how to work with a woman that God can use, you need to come back. And if you're a woman trying to be a woman that God can use, you definitely need to come back at 3:00 as well. Saints, again, as I stated in the beginning, the choice is yours, and we all have the same choice. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are wonderful. You are mighty. And Lord, you chose all of us for such a time as this. You see the chaos in the world. You see the devastation and the destruction, Lord Jesus. And all of us have a role to play. All of us have a part to play. All of us need to take the time, Lord, to evaluate our choices, to decide, Lord, are we going to choose your way, even if it's a way that is scary and rough and we're not sure of? Are we going to listen to our friends and the world who don't know you, Lord Jesus, and turn around, Lord, and make wrong choices and decisions? Gracious God, we're praying for your help, that we would always choose your way. And we give you all the praise do your name. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said,